Are you wondering how to pay for your kids or stepkids' college? Do you know about the recent change in FAFSA application and the impact it has on divorced parents and blended families? What are the best strategies that will give your student the best chance of getting accepted in the college they want? So let's find out on the Stepmom Wisdom Circle. Welcome to the Stepmom Wisdom Circle, a place where we discuss, discover, and explore the complex world of being a stepmom. I'm your host, Claudia Chenevere, the Stepmom Coach, bringing you over 3 decades of stepmom experience and professional coaching wisdom. I'm the author of the Stepmom's Book of Boundaries, How and Where to Draw the Line for a Happier and Healthier Stepfamily, as well as the host, producer, and presenter of the annual Ultimate Step Family Summit. As a stepmom myself, I'm well-versed in the unique joys and challenges this role brings. In this shared space, we'll tackle everything from setting healthy boundaries, managing conflict, to mastering conversation skills that foster the relationship you desire. Each episode is crafted to empower you on this journey, reminding you that you're not alone. Let's dive into the wisdom that comes with being a stepmom together. Welcome to the circle. Hi, and welcome to a new Stepmom Wisdom Circle episode. College is often a stressful time, not only for the students, but for the parents as well. There are so many steps to ensure that your child or stepchild gets into the college they want. It's no longer enough to have good grades. It's a process that is taking several years to get ready for. I had the opportunity to talk with Mindy Trimble, who is a college coach, and she shared some great tips to help you as a parent or step-parent get your young student to the college they want. So here's a little bit more about Mindy. Described as the bubble wrap of life and college coaching, Mindy Trimble encourages college-bound students to pop with fun, stress-relieving ideas for navigating their educational journeys using the Majorly Determined Method inside her multi-year accepted academy program. She then makes sure that they don't pop under pressure by coaching them through carefully chosen coursework and self-directed experiences, all culminating in personally filled applications that get put into the yes pile. Besides increasing acceptance rate, working with Mindy has been known to yield college financial offers ranging from 5 to 30 times her students' investment in her program. When not singing her students' praise, Mindy's flexing her Phi Beta Kappa from UC Berkeley skills at trivia nights, hiking with her family and German Shigel, or using her formal opera training to make up silly versions of soprano arias. So let's listen together. So hi, Mindy. I am so excited to be talking with you about college and getting our kids and stepkids, getting them ready for college. So how are you?
Yes, I'm doing well. It is, you know, we're getting towards the end of July, so my season is quickly heating up along with the weather. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk about all things college prep for stepmoms and families.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to this. We may not be thinking about school and college, especially if the kids are not finished high school or they're still in school, but I think this is an important topic to address. But before we jump in, I would love for you to share a little bit about how you got started doing the work you're doing.
Oh, I'd love to. So, you know, I like to say that my journey to college coaching started with some really loose pantyhose. Now, I know that sounds crazy, loose pantyhose, but let me explain. So I started grad school. I actually went back to college for a second bachelor's degree in classical voice. And as, you know, as I entered that degree program, I was funding myself entirely at this point because I had already done college round one. At that time, I started doing test prep coaching, so standardized test prep, SAT and ACT. And I loved it, and I loved developing relationships with students. And as I got towards the end of my degree, you know, I was out there doing the whole audition hustle and, you know, facing a lot of rejection. But at the same time that I was, you know, I was having some wins in the singing world, I was having a lot of wins online with my students, seeing massive score improvements. And I had started to transition into college essay coaching. And I loved seeing students light up with possibility for their future. But what kind of broke me was one particular audition where the waistband of my pantyhose snapped while I'm singing a particularly difficult aria for a very well-known opera company. And, you know, I'm feeling my pantyhose slide down and I'm just like, you know, this is a metaphor. That was how I was starting to feel about the whole hustle and grind. And I said, you know what? This is not making my heart sing at all. So what is making my heart sing is working with students. And that kind of was the beginning of my transition fully into college prep mentorship, not just college essays, but, you know, exploring curriculum planning and college list selection and the whole shebang. So that is it. So this is my new stage.
I will say, Mindy, I've heard a lot of stories of how people got started. You are the only person I know who started thinking about this because her pantyhose were falling.
Well, hey, you know, one of the best parts about being an online coach, or I mean, even in person, I never, ever have to wear pantyhose ever again. Hopefully that's just dying at the hole, but yes, so it's really great. And yeah, I just thought no more. Let's hold everybody up and support them well in whatever journey they're on.
Yeah. Without the hose. Support them without the hose.
That's right.
So I'd like to ask you, we're talking about college prep, we're talking, yes, and you share how you love preparing for SATs and doing the tests, which, mm-hmm, I think not that many people in from my circle are that excited when it comes to this. And right. So I am so happy that you love this.
Yes.
So why would someone want to hire a coach or a college coach? Like, why would someone do that?
Well, right. Now, I mean, I would be willing to make this argument of what I'm about to tell you. I think that this has always held true. But given that we're in the summer of 2023, I feel like the role of the college coach has become even more important since the pandemic, because with the, you know, rolling back of those standardized tests that I coached for so long, with the rolling back of making those a requirement, I mean, many colleges have stayed test optional, which means that if a student chooses to prepare for those exams, they can submit their scores, but more and more students are choosing either not to submit the scores because they don't like them when they take it, or they're choosing, hey, I don't want to spend my time and resources that way. I'd rather invest in my college prep development in other ways. And so because of that, it means that every single other aspect of the application is that much more important. So the college essay is more important. The rigor of the course selection in high school becomes more important. The other aspects of the application and how the student is spending their summers and really exploring their areas of interest and developing their character. And so I believe that college coach is important because that's not something that you can slap together in junior year, which we'll talk later about some misconceptions, but that's one of the most common, is that, oh, college prep starts the third year of high school. Absolutely not. If you want to do college successfully and you want to get to college successfully, you've got to do high school differently than the way that a lot of step parents listening to this podcast may have been taught themselves. And so getting a college coach is going to help you navigate that with a lot more savvy strategy and ultimately cost savings.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can it help the dynamic between, let's say, myself as a stepmom, my stepchild, and their other parent? Because getting ready for college, or getting your kid and your stepchild, mm-hmm, ready for college can be a big headache.
Right.
Stressful, anxious. So how is it that it can help between myself or as a between a stepmom or stepchild and the other parent.
Right. So I had plenty of divorced parents and stepmoms and stepdads that I've worked with. And I feel that one of the most helpful ways that, you know, I can be present during this process for families with, you know, multiple parents and married spouses is that I really function as a go-between, not just for messages that the parents want to deliver to the student with a different tone or just from a different mouth, but also between the parents themselves, right? So I send regular progress updates. I make sure that I like separate billing if that's, you know, an issue so that those parents are only having to show up in support of the student. I make sure that I am always addressing everyone and saying, hey, you know, hello team, insert student name. If I have a student named Johnny, we're on team Johnny. I'm always reminding everybody where the focus is, and that's the student. I have never really ever had an issue with that. Now, I don't know a lot of times, obviously, what's going on behind the scenes, but I think that just being like an objective third party that wears three hats, right? I'm a project manager, so I'm making sure deadlines are getting met so that hopefully not a single parent needs to nag, because I really get in there. I am very detail oriented. I'm giving the student personal deadlines that are well in advance of the actual deadlines to make sure that that's not something a parent has to worry about. I'm also a cheerleader, so I'm providing, you know, the emotional support that obviously I hope parents are delivering too, but that they know that they're getting that from me as well. And then finally, I'm also a writing coach. So I'm really attacking the whole process from three directions. And I think one of the biggest compliments I get from parents is, you made this so easy. I did not have to remind my student about anything. And some parents are very involved, and that's fine too. But for the parents who want to just say like, I can't deal with this at all, I'm gonna set it and forget it. I'm like a crock pot of college coaching, I guess, in a way. So.
And I love what you just shared in the fact that, you know, a lot of parents get overwhelmed, especially with the process of getting their kid ready to go to college, getting them college bound. And you and I talked before doing this call about it starts way before senior year or even junior year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, way before, especially if your goals are, you know, to get to and through college with as much reduced college fees as possible. If scholarships are a high priority for your family, it's even more important to start early. Learning how to write scholarship essays, finding out what scholarships are available, even the financial side of it, which obviously is a very thorny topic for students with divorced parents, you know, you want to start that conversation early as well, just because financial deadlines are some of the, well, not some of, they are the first deadlines you're going to encounter in the fall of the student's senior year. And there's a lot of changes happening actually right now on that landscape, but that's something that the sooner that you kind of explore what it looks like together when there's not that looming deadline right in your face a couple months down the road, the better, so that you can start kind of anticipating what's coming.
And I love that you brought up the financial piece. It's the first deadline. A lot of times in step families and in divorce couple with divorced couples is there's a lot of struggles or challenges or conflict when it comes to money. Money is often one of the first conflicts when you're a divorced parent or remarried couple and the money is tight and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to send these kids to college, to university, and to have them not have debts that it's going to take several lifetime to get rid of because it keeps growing bigger and bigger. Having you as the go-between, as you said, not only can you help them with the finance of figuring out where can they actually get the either scholarships or other ways of getting money so they can enter the college or at least get in, but you're also a writing coach. Tell me how important, because you also said you talked about essays. Tell me how important is it for a student to be able to write in a way that'll get them inside, at least inside one of the colleges of their choice?
Right. I really do feel that, again, going back to the pandemic and since this advent of test optional admissions, since admissions are looking at applications more holistically, the weight of that essay is heavier. It's become greater in recent years because it's really like the glue that's holding all of the other pieces of the application together. Because the transcripts are going to be telling one story, right? That's the numerical story. It's also telling the story of what difficulty level of classes the student has chosen to pursue. Then you've got the activities list, which is, you know, just a list with very little description about how the student has chosen to spend their time outside of the class. And then you have, you know, the written content. And so the written content, the responsibility of that written content is to shine a light on the parts of that student that those other pieces aren't telling, right? A lot of the students' character building stories or, you know, their experiences within a job in which they've had major insights and aha moments that demonstrate the critical thinking that they're going to be doing a whole lot more of in college is really critical. And so, yes, it needs to be, the grammar needs to be really strong. It needs to be clean. The transitions need to flow. And admissions readers spend so little time on these applications, so little in comparison to what the students are spending, that they also need to make sure that essay is standing out as much as it can in terms of the topic and the construction and the craft. So I feel like another common misconception that people have, and actually somebody just was telling me, this was on an episode of, I think, Real Housewives of Orange County. They were having an argument about, oh, well, we can just hire an editor to edit the essay, or no, we need a college coach. And this is one essay where just getting a proofreader is not gonna cut it, because it's not like essays that students are trained to write. Students don't know how to do memoir style, creative nonfiction, personal writing. And so that is really a critical piece. And the very last thing I'll say on that is that with this recent decision from the Supreme Court about affirmative action, the decision context itself stated, while colleges will no longer be able to use these certain factors of identity in, you know, making admissions decisions, they can still be taken into consideration if a student puts that content into the essay. So now the essay weighs even more than it did just last month. So probably even before I think that happened in the time that we last spoke. So,
wow.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, people are not focusing so much on the written aspect, like the essay, right, but more on, I got to prepare for the SAT. I got to get high scores and I got to get all these activities in so that they see, like, doing volunteer and community work.
Right.
But we rarely have conversations about the importance of essays. And right, as you said, it changed over time. And so having someone who understands what it actually means to really score high or at least be considered for where you want to go or for your,
right,
your child, your stepchild to go to college is key. I know you talked about some of the common misconceptions. Do you have a few other myths that maybe we have about having a college coach that we haven't considered or thought about?
Sure. So, yeah, we touched on the fact that college prep starts the third year. That is a myth. It really needs to start sooner. I mean, I ideally would love to be meeting students in either the summer going into ninth grade or going into 10th grade. You know, the prep is not heavy then, but it's really kind of putting the right types of questions and reflective points in place to make sure that they're starting to do high school more intentionally. Because as you said, and here's another myth, oh, if I just make myself look well-rounded and I get the highest grades I can and I join as many activities as I can, then that's what's going to get me into college. Well, you know, here we are in 2023. We all know as adults that doing it all is a recipe for burnout. And so when admissions see that kind of pattern or activity on the student's application, they're worried about their longevity and their sustainability through college. So that's, it's not even attractive anymore. What's attractive is students who say, look, here are the ways in which I was trying to intentionally figure out what it is I love to do. This is how I chose to spend my time intentionally. And here are maybe some really cool things and really unique and interesting things I decided to do that not a lot of other high school students do. It doesn't mean they have to start a nonprofit or a company, but it means that students are electing to kind of stop going on the hamster wheel of I need to be the well-rounded student and really starting to reflect and think about what is it that I'm interested in and how can I learn a little bit more about that now within you know the scope of my access to available resources. So those are two common myths. And I would say the third one that some people think about is like, well, oh, I can't possibly be investing those resources there because I've got to save the money for college. But I think what people don't realize is the sooner that you start working with a college coach, the closer you are to generating essay content for available scholarships, the more time you're buying yourself to not only pay off whatever you've invested in the coaching relationship, but bank it toward college. And the more scholarships that a student starts to accrue, the more their self-confidence builds, and the more that other organizations are willing to also invest in the student because they've already been vetted and they've already been, you know, been chosen by other organizations. So it kind of becomes a snowball effect. And a lot of people don't realize that, but this is a coaching relationship in which the potential return on the investment is unlike any other kind of personal development coaching out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I want to touch something you mentioned because it's a topic we've talked about from last year's summit and we heard a lot about is mental health, right? And I love that, you know, colleges are looking especially to make sure that their students are not going to be burnt out.
Right.
They're going to stay healthy. We want to teach our young adults or future adults to not jump in the hamster wheel and burn out before they even have a chance to do anything.
Right. Right. And I would even say to that, that's yet another benefit is that, well, let me say this. Another common misconception is that the college essay has to be about a big challenge you've overcome. And that's not true. And what I've seen year after year, unfortunately, is that a lot more students are experiencing struggles with anxiety and they don't really know how to write about having overcome the anxiety. And so as a result, the message they're communicating to admissions boards is, I'm struggling with this and I'm still struggling with it and I don't quite have the tools to deal with it. And that does not give them a vote of confidence in the student's favor to say, hey, yeah, come here. You know, they want to see a student, if they are going to write about challenge, they want to see how they've overcome it so that they have faith that the student will be able to seek out the necessary resources to overcome other challenges, whatever those might be. But another kind of hidden benefit, I think, to the coaching relationship for stepmoms and stepdads is that by having a third adult in the mix, that's they're not a family member, they're not a teacher, and yet they're helping the student achieve this very tangible outcome, what it allows for the parents to do is just enjoy the more intimate bonding conversation. So if you're a stepmom and you've invested years trying to build bonds with your stepchild, now you've got a coach in your corner that's like, I'm handling logistics, right? So now all you need to focus on, should you choose to, is exploring what the student wants to do, talking about the future in fun, stress-free ways, just exploratory. So, and it kind of goes along, I heard you in an earlier interview talking about Hopefully a stepmom can become this kind of role model for the stepchild. You can really lean into that in those final years that the stepchild is at home and set the tone for them leaving the nest. You know, you can really create a long-lasting positive effect in the relationship.
And I love you shared this because oftentimes stepmoms feel they have to figure out, okay, how can I get involved? What am I supposed to do? What's my role? And having a college coach like you, it takes the pressure off the stepmom to be pushing her stepchild in performing, in getting involved. And so this is an amazing way for stepmoms and dads to not feel like I have to be the bad person, the bad parent, the parent that is pushing our kid to do well so that they can go to college, they can go to university, they can get to the next level of their existence, which is becoming a young adult. And so, and to help them figure it out, because one of the things I have seen is kids feel their parents are pushing them into a box or a area or a discipline, if you wish, that they may not even like. And so I'd love for you, how can you help like these kids in understanding how do you choose not only to get into college, but, you know, what is it that, what area do you go into? Is that part of your process?
Oh, yes. That is my favorite part of the process. That is what really has been lighting me up in the past couple of years of my practice, is that I developed a framework. It's the majorly determined framework, and it's got four pieces. So the first thing I like to do with my students who come to me in 8th, 9th, or 10th grade is first, we dig. And we dig into what they love to do, how they're spending their time. Nothing is off limits. Some students are like, oh, well, I play video games. I'm like, yes, tell me all of the things. I want to know. What do you search? In sessions, I've had students, you know, they'll come to say, oh, I don't have that many. I'm not that interesting. I don't do a whole lot. I'm like, oh, yeah, can you look up your browsing history right now? Pop it up. Read to me what you got. Believe me, they're interesting. Everything is interesting. And everything can be looked at from this academic critical lens. And the thing is that they just don't know it yet. They don't know that there are majors that combine their love of, say, nature and business. Like there are environmental science and economics degrees, and they just don't know. And so I really love digging into their interests first and then discovering what's out there, discovering those types of programs and teaching them how to search college websites in a non-frustrating, anti-boring way. Anti-boring is a term that I borrow from Gretchen Wegner. She is a hugely amazing executive functioning coach, so check out her content online. Yes, so we discover, and then we design. So we'll make a mini college list based on these newfound interests, and we also design a mini resume because most students at that age don't have that. They feel like, oh, well, how can I start to get some experience in the world? Well, we got to have a resume. So we design a little resume, and then we talk about how we distill everything we've learned. And that's when I walk through students how to ask for informational interviews and how to ask for job shadowing opportunities, because those are often zero cost or potentially money earning ways for students to narrow down the field of what it is they like and don't like. Sometimes it's easier to talk to students about like, well, let's just narrow it down. Let's cross things off your list instead of thinking about, what do I want to do in the world? Let's find out what you don't want to do. And that way it'll help us rethink where to take our next step forward.
Awesome. I love that. Like, yeah, helping kids think outside of the box, that there's not just this type of program. I personally took a multidisciplinary course where I got to create my own program, which was amazing. As an adult student.
Oh, an adult student. Okay.
But I found it fascinating to think of college from a out of the box experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to ask you, how is college coaching different for families with stepkids, for step parents?
Right. So, well, the first thing that I want to speak to is some, and I'm not a financial expert, but one of the ways that it's really going to change this year in particular, and I encourage you to go look up more information on this, is that the FAFSA, which is the application for federal student aid that everyone fills out if you're looking for student aid, many changes are happening this year. The FAFSA used to be 108 questions. It's now 36 questions. That was due to an act that was passed in Congress. So, needed to simplify it for everyone in America to apply easily. There's some negative and positive changes happening, but one of the thorniest for your audience specifically is that when parents are divorced and they have a child attending college, the custodial parent is the parent that submits the FAFSA. But now, what's going to be changing is that the student aid index, or the amount that they're calculating that the student would be able to invest in college, is going to be based on the parent who's providing the most financial support. So that is pretty, kind of a blow to some of my divorced parents this year. However, I think that one of the other benefits that could really be a game changer, or yeah, one of the benefits of this that could be a game changer for divorced families is that the 529, that's the college investment account, grandparents who have 529 accounts, it used to be that if they made a distribution on behalf of their grandchild, it was counted as income, but it will no longer be counted as income. So that could be a really, really nice potential benefit for divorced families and kind of figuring out the financial puzzle pieces. But other than that, I think that in terms of working with me, it doesn't change a whole lot. There's not that much different on my end and in terms of what goes into the student's creative process in terms of output.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned about FAFSA and the rules changing, and sometimes that in itself can be complicated. So are you in a position to help people understand how do you fill this out? What are some of the questions? Because that can be hard.
I absolutely can provide some help in terms of interpreting what it says. And I am the person that is going to be alerting parents well before it comes out, right? That was the document that I mentioned. You can start submitting it October 1st, but this year, because of the changes, it's going to open December 1st. So this new FAFSA, people aren't even going to be able to see it until then. And so it's kind of a shortened window in terms of time that they can fill it out and submit it. It's really all about kind of setting personal deadlines earlier. So I think for step parents, probably the way that I am the most useful to the parents themselves is as another adult voice communicating some things that they're trying to get through to their kids, as well as being that project manager and saying, hey, we've got this deadline coming and I'm going to keep reminding you. And just oftentimes I'm holding parents as accountable to these deadlines as I am the students. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, if the parents aren't doing their part, I mean, if the kids are doing what they need to do, but the parents are dragging their feet or they're saying, well, I have to talk to their other parents and they're having a hard time talking with each other under normal circumstances. So when we're talking about college and money and yes, so sometimes the best way is to have a middle person, a go-between, another adult that understands the process and can soften the conversation between the two parents.
Because then it just becomes more transactional. It's like, okay, I just need this piece of information and I don't have any emotional attachment about it. And I'm always reminding everybody, like, about the why. The why is so that this amazing human that you all love so much can get into the best fit college for them and truly the best fit. And that's another thing. If I'm doing a lot of work, years of work, 2 to 3 years of work helping the student figure out where they want to go and what they love, they're probably going to A, not change their major once they get there. So that's going to help them B, finish their degree in 4 years as opposed to 4.5 or 5, and C, get them into a job field that they're excited about. So it's like the idea is that the earlier you start, the smoother the ride, even if shifts happen.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because there's so much waste when a kid goes into college or university and has no idea, and they're in there and they have to figure it out on the fly. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Yeah, it's very stressful. So how can investing in a college coach early help reduce, and we just touched on this, reduce college costs? So tell us more about it.
Right. So you're able to start keeping an eye because you're getting a bird's eye view so early. It means that you've got another adult on the team looking for opportunities that typically, when you're managing so much as parents, you're managing your job, you're trying to focus on just getting your student to and through high school successfully, those scholarships can be like, oh, that's a nice to have, but we'll probably just end up taking out loans or taking out the full financial aid award. But really, if you invest a little more upfront and having somebody there to say, well, now it's not a nice to have, now it's a to do, and we're gonna start applying and trying to get that money together, that's going to really add up in terms of offsetting those costs. And by identifying potential best fit colleges early, the student has more time to show those campuses demonstrated interest. And some colleges really take that demonstrated interest in their programs very seriously. And you can even start reaching out to the scholarship offices at those campuses and saying, hey, I really want to go to your school. I've known I've wanted to go to your school since I was a 9th or 10th grader. And what can I do to afford it? You know, my family, we don't know what our FAFSA contribution is going to be yet, but they may have siblings in college. And even if they don't, they can just say, it's my goal to graduate with as little college debt as possible. And so then you can start getting other people on the team that's helping them reduce those college costs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's so important because some people will not go to college, or some kids will not go to college for fear. Well, my parents can't afford it. Because kids will take on responsibility that are not theirs, right?
Right.
Well, right. I'm not going to do this because my parents can't afford it, mm-hmm. or I don't want to have debt for the rest of my life,
sure.
or I don't want to bother them with my challenges. I don't know where to start.
Right.
Often, a lot of times where people hesitate to do anything is they have no idea where to start.
Sure, sure. And I mean, I think too that, again, like I really don't want to discount the fact that the student with a clear direction and a clearer kind of sense of their purpose and their why, the less likely they're going to be experiencing that kind of fear of missing out when they get to campus, because they've done a lot of the research prior to getting there so that they can still, they feel like they have the flexibility to explore without the panic of, oh, maybe I should be doing this or maybe I should be doing this. I'm assuming that most people listening are going to remember, you know, your late teens and early 20s it's going to be enough of a transitional time that let's make sure that some of that stuff is done and dusted. And even just the practice of, you know, staying accountable to somebody else is good on the job training. So all of those things are ultimately reducing time, money, and energy invested in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mindy,
yes,
how can people reach out to work with you?
Yes.
Where can we go?
Yeah, so you're going to want to go to my website, mindytrimble.com/podcast. And that is my kind of little collection of links for you. So there's a special offer in there for those of you who listen to the podcast. You can check that out. You can also jump on my mailing list there and stay. First of all, get your college planning timeline so that you can kind of get a lay of the land and all of my recommended actions and kind of tips well in advance. You can download that at any point in the journey and kind of check it out. And yeah, and just upcoming events and webinars.
Yeah, definitely. And I know there is an event. I would like for us to talk a little bit about your event. It's not
sure.
for a bit, but let's talk about it now so that people can put it in their calendars.
Yes, absolutely. So on September 30th, I have an online Zoom talk called Get Majorly Determined. So I'm going to be going into more depth about the framework I discussed earlier, as well as the whys and the research behind it, and what you can do now to really make sure that your student can stand out and do high school differently and get to and through college successfully. And it is a partial fundraiser for Opulent Mobility, which is an organization dedicated to kind of the intersection of art and accessibility for people with disabilities, as well as an organization very near and dear to my heart. I'm on the board of an organization called I Am Aria, which is dedicated to teen mental health and wellness. And so, yeah, I mean, in my line of work, it's really important that that stays number one at all times. And so I'm really excited to get a huge audience. And by registering, you'll get a replay. So yeah, you can sign up for that event also under MindyTrimble.com/podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Mindy. I mean, I don't have young kids going to college, but I have plenty of grandkids that getting ready to go to college and that coming years, and definitely I want them to have all the opportunities, because the cost of college isn't going to go down. We right. know this, but there are ways that having you help mm-hmm. and support the parent, the step parents, and the kids can make it affordable, make it a wonderful experience for everyone involved.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, everybody. Make sure to follow Mindy at mindytrimble.com/podcast.
Yes.
The links will be in the show notes, so make sure to check that out. And again, thank you so much, Mindy. And I look forward in participating in your upcoming event, September 30th.
Thank you. And I am excited about your upcoming summit. Can you tell me those dates again? I just want to make sure I have them down.
So the summit is September 13th to the 15th, 2023, uh-huh. and it's a 3-day event for step families to understand about mindset, the importance of mindset. So this will be a perfect time for focus on your mindset so then you can send nice. Your kids to college.
Yes, I love it. Mindset is so important, and I will be looking forward to it and checking out. I like to hang out on Instagram, so I will be all over Instagram, resharing all of the promotion for it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
So thank you, Mindy, for sharing these great tips in helping our kids and stepkids get into college. Now, if you found this episode helpful, please share it with other stepmoms or stepfamilies who might find this information helpful. If you have a moment, please leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Your feedback helps us reach more people and create content that serves you better. And again, if you're looking for support or guidance, I encourage you to check out my book, The Stepmom's Book of Boundaries, available in paperback, ebook, or audiobook. And be sure also to check out Mindy's website to find out more about how you can get your student into college. Again, thank you for tuning in to Stepmom Wisdom Circle. Remember, you are valued, you are seen, and you are doing a wonderful job. Until next time, keep shining your light, setting a positive example.